Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Wednesday, June 12th, 2024. And once again, on these Wednesdays, we're very fortunate to have with us a man who's a man of the true American spirit, what our founding fathers fought for that we've lost now. And that was a thing called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that had been ripped up in front of our eyes. And it's Judge Andrew Napolitano, a real American in the true spirit of America. Judge, thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure, Gerald. Thank you. Thank you for the very generous introduction.
Well, it's the truth. And you know, every week you're writing these articles besides all of the shows, the interviews that you're doing on Judging Freedom. And you have one terrific person after another. And today you're going to be having Phil Giraldi on. And he's a real man of men. This is the guy that was a top CIA official that went into the office of that little boy of nothing, the daddy's boy, Georgie Bush, and showed him the facts that there are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And Bush told him to leave the office. And Giraldi, being the true man that he is, quit the FBI, the CIA. And he writes articles as well that are terrific, and we publish them in the Trends Journal. Judge, you have a new article coming out tomorrow. And again, it's war and the Constitution. Can the president fight any war he wishes? Can Congress fund any war it chooses? Are there constitutional and legal requirements that must first be met before a war is waged? Can the United States legally attack any ally? The answer to that question of yes, they could do anything that they want.
Right, right. The reference to the ally was the reference to the Nord Stream pipeline, but I was trying to tie up all at once. The absurdity of the war in Ukraine, that Congress is funding a war that it hasn't declared. It can't declare war on Russia legally because we've signed treaties that limit our war making to targets that genuinely threaten us. Question, does Russia threaten the United States? No, we threaten them. We have American military equipment in Ukraine that's being aimed inside of Russia.
And we have American military men and maybe women in Ukraine as well. Is that correct?
Correct. You and I recently had a fabulous dinner with Scott Ritter, who, by the way, was also rebuffed by George W. Bush when Ritter, as the head UN weapons inspector, told the Bush administration, not Bush personally, as Phil Giraldi did, but told the Bush administration, Saddam Hussein doesn't have any weapons of mass destruction, and they just dismissed what he did. And Ritter, being Ritter, you know, went on national television and publicized what he found and publicized what he told them. But Ritter told you and me how we know there are American troops in Ukraine because the equipment that they're using requires a top secret security clearance in order to use them. And we can't give that top secret security clearance to Ukrainian troops. So we know American troops or American personnel, American human beings are there operating the equipment and aiming it. They may have a Ukrainian pressing the code on the computer to launch the projectile, but all the setup is done by Americans. So what do you expect Putin to do when the Americans are firing inside Russia? Question. Where is Russia's second largest nuclear submarine as we speak? Answer, on its way to Havana. Thank you, Joe Biden, on its way to Havana. JFK was 43 years old during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Joe is 81. I don't know that he can deal with this.
He can't deal with anything. And the little clown boy, by the way, he's got, what, got five draft deferments during the Vietnam War? Well, and he loved every war since. All these people that love wars don't go fight.
Well, like Lindsey Graham, they never met a war they didn't want somebody else to fight.
Yeah, perfectly said. Never met a war they didn't want someone else to fight. You go on with your article. You said these questions should be front and center in a debate over the U.S. involvement in Ukraine. And you go on and what you're just saying. Sadly, there's been no great national debate. Not only has there been no great national debate, you're not allowed on the mainstream media if you're against it.
Correct.
If you're for peace, you're prohibited. Peace is not allowed. And by the way, we're having a peace and freedom rally up here again in Kingston and on September 28th. And Judge Napolitano and Scott Ritter are going to be two of the speakers. And we're putting others together. So please, we, as Scott Ritter said, we have to have a million person march for peace.
Yes.
There are 332 American people. To get a million out of 332 million should not be a big deal. You know, before China launched the COVID war on January 2020, the year of the rat, their lunar Chinese Lunar New Year, in 2019, there were massive protests going on in Hong Kong. I used to be on Hong Kong TV. And I'm on like for 20 minutes and we take a break. And I'd say to the host, so what's going on over there? He said, Mr. Salenti, we're not going to stop. We're not going to let the Chinese take over the way they are. Hong Kong is a city of 7.5 million people. There were over a million people taking to the streets. A million out of 7.5 million. If we can't get a million people in Kingston on September 28th, with people like Judge Napolitano, Scott Ritter, and others, we should be ashamed of ourselves as a nation.
It would be very, very telling about the gullibility of the American public with respect to government and mainstream media propaganda if we can't get a huge crowd. I hope we get a crowd so huge you have to send a helicopter to get me in.
Me too. And really, this is my passion, because if we don't have peace, we're going to die in war. The World War III has already begun. There's going to be just like World War II began before they bombed, Pearl Harbor. You know, it was going on before. You need that false flag event, that one, a big event that makes it happen. And right. It's already going on with the Israel war. And the Ukraine war. Oh, by the way, yesterday, the murderous Israeli government slaughtered a top commander in Hezbollah deep into Lebanon. And all Americans know is the bullshit that they put out. Hezbollah is a terrorist group. Israel and the United States say so. You mean Hezbollah? The men that fought against the Israeli invasion of Lebanon and the occupation of Lebanon and threw them out? Why, how dare they throw them out? Don't you know that Israel could steal all the land that they want? Oh, because you know why, Judge. God gave them that land. It's right there in the Torah, chapter 6, section 8. Right. We'll make up any crap we want. I'm telling you, World War III's begun. Israel is going to keep expanding this war. And as your article makes it really clear, American political pieces of crap are going to take us to war. We are already at war.
Correct. Correct. And they're going to do this through a slow and gradual buildup because they can't declare war. They'd never get a declaration of war. The one thing the article doesn't mention that you and I have talked about, you just alluded to it. We all know that now that Pearl Harbor was a false flag, it worked for FDR. On December 6, 1941, 80% of the country was against U.S. involvement in the war in Europe. On December 8, 1941, 80% of the country was in favor. Just like 9/11. I mean, these things change public opinion radically. It wouldn't surprise me if there is a false flag, and if there is one, it's going to be pretty soon because Joe needs it in time to affect the outcome of the election. And with early voting this year, this false flag, if it comes, is going to come very, very soon. It might even come before the Democratic National Convention, which right now is the first week in August.
You know, they had a huge anti-war rally in Hungary, in Budapest. Oh,
enormous.
Yeah, it was on June 1st. Some 250,000 people. Never made the American news. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. The world in arms is not spending money alone. It's spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. This is not a way of life at all in any true sense. Under the clouds of war, it is humanity hanging on a cross of iron.
Sounds like Eisenhower.
Yeah, that's right. Five-star general.
Right.
Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces in World War II. Two-term president warning the American people that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the geniuses, scientists, sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. And here we are, America rotting in front of everybody's eyes. The roads are rotten. The bridges are rotten. The country is rotting in front of us. You like all those homeless people? No, you like all the migrants flooding over here that we're paying for. Look at the country's rotting in front of our eyes. I don't know
that this would change even under Trump. I believe he'd be as bellicose as Biden. You know, his son-in-law wants to develop Gaza into multi-million-dollar beachfront property. You think Trump would stop him from doing it?
Again, Trump just got what, another $25 million from Sheldon Adelson's wife. Sheldon Adelson, the guy that was the casino guy in Las Vegas, that gave Trump $100 million in his 2020 campaign, the Trump, because of Sheldon Adelson, that moved the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Israel.
To Jerusalem, yeah.
To Jerusalem, thank you. And told Israel, you know that land you stole in 1967 and that belonged to Syria? It's yours.
Keep it.
Yep. You know, this Jared Kushner thing is a reality. I have the article here about how he said that he basically wants to push the people out of there, the Palestinians, put them in the desert, and rebuild the area. Yep. So it's a fact. I had it here somewhere, but anyway, we wrote about it in detail in the Trends Journal. And so they're going to take us to war. And Judge, your article here is so important. Under the Constitution, only Congress can declare war on a nation or group. The last time it did so was to initiate American involvement in World War II. But Congress has given away limited authority to presidents and permitted them to fight undeclared wars. Example of this is George Bush's disastrous and criminal invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq and the War Powers Resolution of 1973. Tell us about the War Powers Resolution.
This allows the President of the United States to fight any war he wants against any adversary that he wishes for 90 days without congressional approval or even notice to Congress. Then after 90 days, he's got to give notice. Then after the second 90 days, that is a total of 180 days, Congress can consent or not consent. It's basically a blank check to allow him to do what he wants. What's insidious about this is the Gang of Eight, the Congress within the Congress. The president can give, the president can fight a secret war and give secret notice to the Gang of Eight, which is the chair and ranking members of the House and Senate intelligence committees and the leaders of each of the two parties in the House and the Senate. He can give secret information to them. They can't share it. They can't tell the press. The senators in that committee can't tell the other senators. The representatives in that committee can't tell the representatives. So nine people, the Gang of Eight and the president, can fight all the secret wars they want, spend all the money they want, engage all the troops they want, kill all the foes they want, allow all the Americans to be slaughtered that they want without the American people or the Congress knowing about it. That's how perverse this War Powers Resolution is. Congress passed it over President Nixon's veto in 1973.
You know, here's the cover of this week's Trends Journal. And it really, it says it all what this country's come into. USSA, United Soviet States of America, freedom, F you. Political parasites in charge. And that's what we become.
That is what we have become. And as I said earlier, I'm not taking sides in Trump versus Biden, since I know Trump so well and for so long. It's just that the culture in government, the uniparty, war party, surveillance party, military, industrial, congressional, banking, pharmaceutical, think tank, academic complex, that milieu, that mindset, which occupies, commands, and controls three quarters to four fifths of the Congress, and whoever is in the White House will have its say. My friend, Congressman Thomas Massie, who's basically the Ron Paul of the House of Representatives today, told Tucker Carlson something 2 days ago that was astounding to me. I didn't know this. Every member of Congress has a handler assigned to him by AIPAC. And that person monitors how the member votes, what the member says, and reminds the member regularly, consistently, and systematically what AIPAC's wishes are. Now, Massie doesn't accept any money from AIPAC. They can't stand him. But he told us that this is a procedure that's been in place. I had never heard this before.
Oh, you look at the data coming out about all the money that AIPAC and the Israeli lobbyists are pushing into the system and the people that they're going after that are against the Israeli genocide war.
This is a foreign government infiltrating the American government. AIPAC is foreign agents, many of whom are Americans. They don't have to register under the Foreign Agent Registration Act. People get prosecuted for failure to do that, but there's an exception for AIPAC. Gee, I wonder why, because AIPAC funds 90% of the Congress.
Here's the article, by the way. Jared Kushner, former President Donald Trump's son-in-law, said, described waterfront property in the Gaza Strip, quote, as valuable. Quote, it's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there.
Little bit.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yesterday, UN reports accuse Israel of extermination, crimes against humanity. Oh, a little bit of an unfortunate situation. Extermination and crimes against humanity. He goes on to say, but from Israel's perspective, we got this little slime ball, this little boy of nothing, a little daddy's boy. You know, Netanyahu, when he comes to America, stayed with old man Kushner, right? Oh, the Kushner that was brought up on charges that Donald Trump gave a free ride to when he was president? Yeah, that Kushner family. He goes on to say, from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the Palestinian people out of there and clean it up. He said they should move the Palestinian civilians into the Negev Desert. This genocide.
Hey, who's paying for it? The American taxpayer, or money borrowed in the name of the American taxpayer.
Yeah.
Under the law that makes us complicit in war crimes and genocide. I'm going to argue later today on Judging Freedom that when the media knowingly looks the other way in the face of genocide, the media also is complicit in genocide. And there is no statute. There is no statute of limitations for a genocide.
Again, this UN report just came out. Yep.
I mean, George Bush can't travel to Europe because there's still an EU-wide arrest warrant for him for war crimes in the invasion of Iraq and the invasion of Afghanistan. Same with Dick Cheney.
You know, you see, you're being, you have to watch your language on the show. You can't call him Dick Cheney. You got to call him Penis Cheney. You can't call him a dick.
Only you can get away with that, my dear friend. It's the South Bronx in you.
This goes on to say this UN, regarding Israel's action, the commission said widespread systematic attack directed against the civilian population in Gaza. The commission found that the crimes against humanity of extermination, murder, gender persecution targeting Palestinian men and boys, forcible transfer and torture, and inhuman and cruel treatment were committed. Right in front of everybody's eyes, you can see the pictures.
And what will the UN do about it? Probably nothing, because the US will veto a Security Council resolution.
Yep. The Gerald, commission said Palestinian men and boys were forced to strip naked in public in moves, quote, intended to inflict severe humiliation. And you can see the pictures. This isn't made up. They're right. All over the place. What they're doing is murder in the first degree. And again, they're going to take us to war. And if we don't stop it, it's going to be the end of life on Earth. They're going to annihilate. It's going to be nuclear war.
It makes September 28th even more critical. And it's right at the heart of, well, we picked this date. No, holding back. We picked this date to be at a critical point in the campaign. We picked this date when we didn't even know who the nominees would be. So it's a very, very important weekend.
Well, again, you're the one, you suggested it, and you're 100% right that we should do this running up to the election, because that's going to be a very critical time. Our lives are on the line. Again, this country is going down in front of our eyes. You got a bunch of little slime ball nothings. Again, political parasites, little Chucky Schumer, Mike Johnson, Lindsey Graham, one clown out of shit. You end this by saying, has Russia threatened the United States? No. What grave acts have the Russian military committed against the U.S.? None. What is Biden's objective? You say he won't say. Does Congress uphold the Constitution? Does the president? The answers are obvious. We have reposed the Constitution for safekeeping into the hands of those who ignore it. The consequences are death, debt, and the loss of personal liberty. You are 100% right on target. And where is the outrage?
Without a draft, there is no outrage. I don't want to be cynical, but that probably provoked the media during the Vietnam War to be adverse to the government. It's far better for human freedom when the media is adverse to the government, because they do their, when they do their job, they do their investigative reporting. Right now, the only people that do it are the Gray Zone and Cy Hirsch and Aaron Matei and Max Blumenthal. But all the big bucks are devoted, you know, with the alphabet lettered media and the remaining newspapers, to supporting whatever the government propaganda is.
So what's going on with the media? What's your take and why it's happened and how it changed?
I guess it's A, because there is no draft, and B, because of who owns the media, the same donor class that wants this war in Gaza to be financed by the American taxpayer and unimpeded by any sense of morality.
Unimpeded by any sense of morality. Morality's gone. It's become a dirty word. Everybody got to read this article. It's going to come out tomorrow. And go to Judging Freedom. The guests that he have on, the men and women he has on, are real fighters for freedom, truth, peace, and justice. And what he's giving the people, what Judge Napolitano is giving the people and the people on his show, it's in the true American spirit. And again, we have to unite for peace, or else we're going to die in war. It's right in front of our eyes for all to see.
Tomorrow I have John Mearsheimer and Pepe Escobar.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, matter of fact, there's an article that just came out. I haven't read it yet, from Pepe Escobar that I just printed it out. Boy, he's a real fighter.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. He was supposed to be with us in Russia. I mean, he was there, but, you know, Ritter and I never made it.
Oh, that's what he wrote about. He wrote about what happened in that that economic conference in St. Petersburg.
Right.
He has a whole detailed list about it. And, oh, he's great. He's a real man, as the rest of the people. You know,
send me the article, would you? I should read it before I interview him.
Pepe Escobar, the three key messages from St. Petersburg to the global majority. In the year of the Russian presidency of BRICS, the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum had to deliver something special, and deliver it did. Over 21,000 people, representing no less than 139 nations, discussing every facet of the drive towards a multipolar, polycentric world. St. Petersburg, beyond all the networking and frenetic deal-making, $78 billion worth clinched in only 3 days, crafted three entwined key messages already resonating all across the global majority. And he goes through the messages and says how important they are.
Well, I'm dying to meet him and looking forward to the interview.
Thanks for everything you do, Judge, and we'll see you next week.
All the best, Gerald. Thank you.